This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Hello and welcome to the very first show, Wine and Dine in Los Angeles with Anush. In this show, I will share with you all the insights of wine and wine industry that I have learned throughout the years and share my passion of food. In the first part of this show, I'll talk to you typically on hot topics on wine and interesting finds about food. And in the second part, I will have a guest who will share their amazing stories about food or wine. I highly encourage you to message, call, and connect to suggest topics that have been on your mind that interest you. If you have questions, I would be glad to talk about them on air. I also will share with you fun events that are happening in Los Angeles around food and wine, whatever I think that it's interesting and exciting and worth your time. Just a little introduction about myself. I'm from Armenia and I love to eat and drink. I think that's a big part of our culture. And when I'm not learning about wine, I'm cooking. And when I'm not cooking, I'm exploring the wine world. To me, delicious food must always be accompanied by good wine. And this is a question that I get asked a lot. What is a good wine? My response is that good wine is a wine that you like. It's not the wine that I suggest. I can give you a suggestion and recommendation, but ultimately it's the wine that you like that's good. A good wine is also a wine that's drank and shared with friends and family, creating memories. A good wine is a wine that complements your food. My journey in the wine industry began right after I graduated the winemaking school in Armenia. And I wanted, my ultimate dream was to come to have my own small winery, but I knew that I needed more education. I needed to study business. So I moved to Texas to get my master's in marketing. And Texas welcomed me with open arms and heart full of love. It was an amazing experience I had. After completing my master's, I worked as a marketing director for a winery. Then I moved on to sales and distribution, import and export, and I also worked in the high-end retail store. And these experiences were important for me because it's one thing for you to know how to make wine, but if you make wine, you need to learn about all the channels of its distribution, and working in each segment gave me understanding and appreciation of all the hard work that goes into growing the grapes and putting it ultimately at the table in front of the consumer. So in 2008, I moved to Napa Valley to work with my favorite winemaker, Kent Rasmussen. And Napa Valley is an absolutely magical place. And in the future episodes, I would dedicate a segment on Napa Valley and why it is such an amazing place to grow grapes and why the wine that comes from there, it's so delicious. I lived in Napa for the period of time that I worked. I actually lived on the premise of the winery, and every morning was magical. I would wake up and I wouldn't believe my eyes how beautiful the valley was. So after that experience, I turned into another full-time job, being a mom for two boys. And I took a little bit of absence, active absence from the wine industry. But at the same time, I couldn't just sit still. I planted a vineyard with my best friend in Tustin. And I also completed the introductory course for the sommelier with the Court of Masters. That afterwards led me to doing podcasting for 4 years, where I shared stories of Armenian winemakers, Armenian wine industry, general knowledge, which I enjoyed greatly. And my final biggest project is the Armenian Wine and Spirit Festival called Guinea Fest. And Guinea stands for wine and fest is for festival. And this is the third year that's going to happen. It will take place this time in Castaway, Burbank. And I would love to see you guys come and try Armenian wines. celebrate with us, party with us, and have a good time. And in fact, I will be giving away two VIP tickets to this festival, and we will have the details for the contest later on. This is a little bit my background, but today, for today's topic, I wanted to talk about ancient history of wine and when and how did the winemaking start. The origins of the wine predate any written record, and modern archaeologists are still uncertain about the details of first cultivation of the wild grapes. So it was thought that, you know, humans would climb the trees and pick the berries. And how is wine? What is wine? It's basically a chemical procedure that, you know, the sugar from the grapes or any other fruit gets into contact with the air, and in the air there is yeast, and yeast converts a sugar into alcohol, and that's how wine is created. So that's what happened in the old times. They would collect the berries, and after a while, if they sat in the bucket, they will ferment, and that was the wine. It's the simplest thing, simplest process, easy, and it has been done forever. And the earliest archaeological evidence of wine produced from grapes have been found to many places. China is 7,000 BC, Georgia 6,000 BC, Iran 5,000 BC, Greece is 4,500, and Armenia is 4,100. The oldest known winery was discovered in Areni 1 cave in Vayot Zor, Armenia. And this dates to 4,100 BC. So basically, this winery is 6,100 years old. During the excavations, they found wine press. And wine press is a equipment that you put the grapes in, and then you press, and the juice comes out, which becomes wine afterwards. Fermentation vats, where you put the grapes in and where the procedure of the conversion of alcohol from the sugar takes place, some jars and cups. Archaeologists also found seeds of grapes called Vitis vinifera, and Vitis vinifera is the varietal that exists until now. It's the noble varietals that you see today. So what was interesting about this is that because they found all that equipment, that means that the winemaking dates to much more before. This was an organized facility where mass production of wine was made. So it wasn't just an in-home operation, but this was a commercial operation where they made it. Most probably they sold it and they traded it with the neighbors for different things. It's an amazing find. It's located in Areni, Yeregnadzor village, and Areni is one of the, it's basically like the Napa Valley of Armenia, as grows best grapes. It's a high elevation. And so I guess people even in 4,100 BC knew that that was the best location, and that's why they had their facility there. So not just only Armenians, it's very interesting, the history of the wine. The fame of Persian wine has been well known in ancient times. The carvings on the audience hall known as Apadana Place in Persepolis demonstrate soldiers subjected nation by the Persian Empire bringing gifts to Persian king, and they have like grapes over there. There's lots of writings as well in ancient Persia. Herodotus writing about the culture of the ancient Persians, in particular those of Pontus, writes that they were very fond of wine and they drank it in large quantities. In medieval period also, you can see that Zoroastrians in Persia and Central Asia also engaged in the production of wine. Though not so much, it wasn't part of their trade, they became known for their taverns, you know, where people would come and hang out. You know, I guess they're like the wine bars nowadays, or taverns too. And wine in general found an industrial use in the Middle East as well as feedstock after the advances of distillation. So they were so advanced that they started distilling, and they made pure ethanol from the wine. and then that was used in the perfume industry. Wine was also for the first time distilled into brandy during this period, and that's also huge because if you look at it, 5,000 years ago, they were already making brandy, and that's amazing. Another interesting fact that I found about Persia is that recent archaeological research has pushed back the date to much older, earlier times of wine production. So as far as 5,400 and 5,000 BC to indicate the high levels of tartaric acid that were found in different Neolithic jars. My favorite part of the ancient history of the wine are the legends and discoveries. You know, we know that in biblical book of Genesis, first mentions of production of wine by Noah. Noah came, landed on Mount Ararat, and he planted vines, and then he collected the grapes, and then he got drunk on that. I found this really super fun Persian legend. It's about King Jamshid. He banished a lady from his harem and causing her to become despondent and contemplate suicide. So she was so upset, she wanted to kill herself. And so she went to his warehouse and they had a little jar there which had the name poison on it. In that jar, they used to keep grapes. So after the grapes were there for a long time, now that was considered rotten grapes and it was considered to be poison. So she wanted to kill herself and she takes that and she drinks it. She gets drunk. She gets into high spirits. Okay, not drunk. She gets into high spirits. She changes her mind about, you know, killing herself. The other version suggested that she actually fell asleep and then she woke up really happy. So one way or another, the wine affected her in a really good way. She changed her mind. She wanted to leave. Also, she went and shared that with the king. And king got so excited because he was happy to discover this drink. And he said, from now on, all the grapes grown in Persepolis are going to be dedicated to the winemaking. So that's the best part of the history. I also read the other day somewhere that in the old times, and I can't remember if it was Armenians or Persians, they said any decision that was made sober had to be discussed after you had few drinks of wine. And at the same time, whatever you have decided when you were, after you had few glasses of wine, you had to confirm in the morning if that made sense, because then the decision was made. So anyways, this is my short part on the history, ancient history, and little fun legends on the wine. I hope you enjoyed it. My other part of this segment would be I would like to recommend a few places for you guys to go and hang out, check out events that are going on, and then we will do a little glossary of the words that could be used in the conversation. Second part of my interview is a conversation with a very good friend of mine, Stepan Bardasaran, and he owns an online wine shop. And just for you guys to be acquainted to the terminology, I'll give you a short glossary. For the event, what's going on around Los Angeles this week? So Fridays, you can spend your time in Malibu. You can take your picnic food and go relax, listen to some music. If you like Ethiopian food, you can go and into Little Ethiopia restaurant. They have Ethiopian food and wine pairing. And I think this is so amazing because it's typically very hard to pair ethnic foods with wine because of they have more spice in it and etc. So this would be a good fun thing to do. If you are wanting to learn more about wine, there is a event called Wine Camp, and it's about $80. And in this wine class, you go and learn how wine is made, lessons on how to taste wine, describe what you taste, how to pair food and wine, how to serve wine, lots of topics that actually I'm going to cover going forward. But this would be a fun thing to do if you are looking to get more knowledge on that. And for beer lovers, there is a 7th annual IPA festival in Mohawk Bend. It's in Los Angeles. And lastly, if you like chili and you want to participate in the contest, you can cook your chili and take it with you. And their event is designed to raise funds for the multiple charities. For more information, you can contact me, and my email is ANUSHIK, and that's my name, and IK, Anushik, and then JAN, that is so Armenian, JAN@gmail.com. So it's AnushikJan@gmail.com, and I'll gladly answer any of the questions or send you the more information on these events coming up. For today's glossary, we will talk about decanting. What is decanting? Decanting is a process of emptying the wine into a different container. Typically, you might have seen in stores crystal bottle-looking shaped jugs. Those are for decanting. And what is the purpose of decanting is to open up the wine and to make it much more pleasurable for your dinner. And what does opening mean of the wine? Opening of the wine is exposing the wine to oxygen that helps it breathe, and you call it breathing of the wine, and it opens up and becomes much more aromatic. The descriptor similar to that is the perfume. If you spray the perfume and then you walk around, it reacts with the oxygen and it opens up, it breathes, and it smells better, less concentrated. The same thing is for the wine. So that's the purpose of decanting. Next is tasting. How do you taste? You smell it, and that's called the nose. When someone is telling you, I have something on the nose, it means that they are smelling something. I have something on the palate, that means I'm tasting something, and palate is your mouthfeel. And if you are saying the body, this is a full body wine, this is a medium body wine, that's your mouthfeel. Just take a comparison of the no fat milk to a full fat milk, and that's the body in the mouth. So those are the terms that you will hear today in today's conversation, and I hope this will help you for the future references too. If you see those words or if you hear those words in a restaurant or someone talking to and describing you a wine, if they say it has a nose of violet, cherries, you know that's what it smells like. If you say on the palate it has cherries and violet, that's what it tastes like. That's the taste on your palate. And if it's a full body, it means that it's like a fuller, thicker, richer mouthfeel versus light body, which is a lighter in your mouth. Thank you so much for being with me for the first half of this first amazing show. And we will return briefly with Stepan Baghdasaryan. This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Welcome back to the second segment of the first show, Wine and Dine in Los Angeles. Today, we have a wonderful friend visiting to share with us information about his wonderful business. We have Stepan Baghdasaryan. Hi, Stepan. How are you?
Hi, Anush. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to talk to me. I mean, this is the first time over here, but we have spoken many times. Stepan is the owner of mywineplus.com and winesofarmenia.com.
Anush, thanks for having me on your inaugural show. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate the opportunity that your show will provide to our wines, and particularly the wines from Armenia and from around the world, but particularly the wines from Armenia. And Armenia is making great, great wines, and we're happy to provide them to the wine drinkers, wine lovers in the United States.
So tell us more about your business, because you don't just have Armenian wines, you have also other wines, and just a little bit more, how did you start and what interests you to go into the wine industry?
Well, again, thank you. We are wine wholesalers and importers. We import wines from a lot of different places, and we distribute wines from a lot of different places. I started this, this year is our 15th anniversary.
Wow,
we started this business back in 2005. And now, 15 years later, we're doing great. We're happy to be providing these amazing wines. I'm a wine lover myself. Prior to this, I was an attorney. I'm still an attorney, but I don't practice law anymore. This is what I do. This is what I love to do. And wine is what has been my hobby and my occupation for the last 15 years. And we're happy to do it. Wine is this great beverage that brings people together and for over conversations, over dinners. And there are plenty of great wines. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to get great wines. But they're great wines that people love and people enjoy and brings people together, as I said. And we're happy to do it. As I said, we're wholesalers and importers, but our main business is retailing these wines online.
Online. Mm-hmm.
Our main business through for all of our wines is mywineplus.com. That's our main website where we ship wine to most places in the United States. Mm-hmm. And anytime you buy 6 bottles or more, I pay for the shipping. Simple as that. You enjoy the wines, I pay for the shipping.
That's a great added value. How do you choose wines? Because obviously there is so much wine in the world and you cannot carry all of them. How do you narrow it down? Was it because of experience of your 15 years that you know what your base wants? Or is just your favorite wines?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I taste around 40 to 50 wines a week. And from those, we choose maybe 5 or 6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very time-consuming, tedious process, but someone's got to do it. Mm-hmm. And we enjoy doing it. As I said, we taste a lot of wines. Some of the wines either don't meet the criteria we're looking to meet for our customers because we know what our customers want.
Mm-hmm.
Others, though, are either too expensive or just don't have what it takes to add to our lineup. We're very happy and proud that the wines that we add to our lineup are either wines that I love or people really enjoy or look for them. And either these are highly rated wines, top of the line Napa Valley Cabernets or Italian Super Tuscans or Brunellos, and of course, Armenian wines.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Spanish. We also have Argentinian. We also have a lot of wines from other parts of California and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, we focus primarily on high-end Napa Valley Cabernets,
mm-hmm.
high-end Italian Brunellos and Super Tuscans, and high-end premium Armenian wines. And our customers seem to appreciate them, and they love them, they enjoy them, and most important, they reorder.
That's important, yeah, because you need your repeat customers. What if someone is looking for a wine and then you don't have it in your portfolio? Would you be able to make an adjustment and order it for them, get it through the distributor?
Depending on the wine.
Depending
on
the wine.
Some wines are, some wines and some vintages are no longer available
mm-hmm.
in the public domain, whether it is some distributor or some other importer. If the wine is available in the United States, we most likely will be able to get it for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of availability. Some wines, some people like to store the wine. They don't want to sell them. They don't want to sell them. They want to hold on to them. But a lot of times they're available. If they're available, we can get it for them.
Mm-hmm.
We recently made this amazing buy from an importer of a beautiful Barbera from Barbera d'Alba from Piedmont region. This is a 2006 vintage. It's a fantastic wine. You don't usually find wine this old.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
This wine has withstood the time because it's coming from a spectacular vintage and it's from spectacular vineyards in the hills of Piedmont, the Barbera, in the hills of Alba, which I should say.
Mm.
And it's got a lot of rose petals.
I was going to say, can you describe, what's in the bottle?
In the nose, a lot of some cherry, dark cherry, and some rose petals.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that dry rose petal nose, which is really emblematic or characteristic of a good Barbera. Mid palate is full of fruit, great structure, and it's got a very long, long finish. I fell in love with this wine, and I bought everything I could get my hands on. We're the only ones in the country right now who have this
wine.
Who
has this? What would you pair it with? What kind of food would you serve with that wine?
I'm glad you asked. Besides wine, I like to eat as well. So I love wine.
Well,
I love
good food as well. It is wine and dine in Los Angeles.
Absolutely. This wine will do very well with roasted vegetables, and more importantly, roasted beef. And if you could marinate that beef with some dried pollens, it'll be very, very nice. It will give you great mush with some mushrooms, with some vegetables. You need meat with this wine. It still has enough tannins to withstand the fat of the meat. It will be delicious. I've already tried it last Sunday. It was great.
I believe you. Now, would you also suggest to decant this wine for quite some time?
You know, it takes one to know one. I really appreciate that question. Given that this is a 2006 vintage, it would take a very long time to open up. So I did decant it last Sunday. And again, that decanting saves you a couple of hours of breeding. And that the wine tasted beautifully. Again, a lot of fruit in there still, great structure, nice acidity, which is characteristics of a good Barbera. And that did very well with the meat. Yes, absolutely.
That sounds delicious. Now, going back to My Wine Plus and the wines of Armenia, you said it's an online store. Do you have any events for your customers?
Given that we're an online store and our customers are all over the country, we don't have
LA customers.
Well, too many events. However, last year was the first time we did it. We're going to have another event this year where every time we have large quantity of new wines or new wine that we're importing from Europe, from Armenia, we do have events where we invite not only our customers, our people in the supporters and our fans, people who appreciate wine, and we bring them together to an event where they get to taste all the new wines we have and give us some feedback and support us. If they want to buy, they can buy it, of course. But these are certain things we've done in the past, but we'll do more of nowadays, given that our community of supporters, customers is growing, so we'll be able to have more of these events and have a great time with it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as you are very well and very much involved with, every year, this is the third or fourth year, it's going to be Guinea Fest.
Third year.
In
the
Guinea
Armenian
Fest,
Wine and Spirits Festival.
In Glendale, and you're an organizer of that event.
I am.
And you do a phenomenal job at that event.
Thank you.
And we've been participating at this event, at that event since its inception. And we're happy to do it again. We'll do it again. We support it. It's a great, great opportunity to bring together all the top Armenian wines to the community at large, not only to Armenians, but everybody. This event is open for everybody to come and taste some amazing wines. And, of course, there's always food there.
And I'm giving away two tickets to the festival
today.
Can
I win one?
Absolutely. thank you for the kind words. Guinea Fest, the festival, is an amazing opportunity for people to come and taste Armenian wines. It's a great place, great vibe. I can't wait for May 31st. And thank you so much for your support. You were there like from the day one that we have decided to do this festival. You were there supporting with the best wines that you have, pouring, being there. Thank you.
My pleasure. It's a great, as I said, it's a great event, very well organized, very well attended. And people, everybody who comes there enjoys it, has a great time, and supports it. That's very, very important. And we're happy to do it again. It's a great opportunity for us to showcase our wines. We're going to have a lot more new wines coming this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited about it. It just gives us the great avenue to showcase to the community the amazing wines that Armenia is producing. And we're participating. We're doing our little part in helping get the word out about these amazing wines. And through your medium, Guinea Fest, and this medium, this interview, this show, other events that we do throughout the year where we support a lot of organizations, a lot of events. We participate in helping charities with their fundraisers and so on, just to get the word out that we have all amazing alternative wines here for people to enjoy. And
you absolutely do. So we have talked about Barbera that you brought. Let's talk a little bit about the other three wines that you brought today.
Fantastic. These are, again, the jewels of the Armenian wine industry. We have here Voskheni. Voskheni is a fantastic story. The great-grandfather of the Mkhirchyan family used to live in Boston in the 1850s. The guy makes a lot of money, decides to go back to Armenia because he's deep down, he's a farmer. He wants to grow grapes and make wine. Of course, his timing was not very good. He goes back to Armenia in the early 1900s. The Bolsheviks are raging all over the former Soviet Union. They take over Armenia, and the land that he bought with his hard-earned money, they take over. The government captures the land. 70, 80 years later, his great-grandchildren are lucky enough to be able to buy the lands back from the Sardarabad Valley and grow grapes and make amazing wines. Voskeni is one of them. This wine happened to be the white Voskeni made out of Voskehat grapes, which is a very big popular Armenian wine. It's got the nose of a, let's say, Torontes or a Sauvignon Blanc. It's a little bit tropical, yet the body is a very Chardonnay-like. Mm-hmm. So it's a great wine to drink by itself, nicely chilled on a Sunday afternoon by the pool, or accompanied with some chicken or with some salads with cheeses. It has nice acidity to
cheese
it.
Cheese platter. Yeah,
cheese platter. Nice. It has nice acidity to it, so it balances well. And of course, if you like salmon, roasted salmon, that's a natural. The next wine we have is Zulal. Zulal means pure in Armenian. The idea behind here, by the way, it's made by a woman winemaker and winery owner. And Zulal, the idea behind is to make single varietal wines. This one happened to be Areni. Areni is a very, very popular Armenian wine varietal, indigenous wine varietal. By the way, so is Voskehat, indigenous wine varietal. And Areni, a lot of people describe it between cross between Pinot Noir to a Sangiovese type of a blend. It's a difficult to explain, but it's got a nice flowery nose, deep cherry color, and cherry mouthfeel as well. And depending on the wood treatment, it takes on different characteristics. Interesting about this Zulal Areni is the fact that a lot of these Armenian wines are aged in Caucasian oak barrels, either sourced from Armenia or from Artsakh. Yet this one is aged in French oak barrels, which is different, which is unique, and it gives that familiarity to the Western wine drinkers who are not used to Caucasian oak yet, but they're used to the French wine. This wine, Old Bridge, is a phenomenal wine. It has won a gold medal as well. And this comes, is a 2013 vintage, aged 2 years in Caucasian oak, and it's a phenomenal big wine. You can drink this with a nice juicy steak and have a great time.
Yeah, I love all the wines. These are my favorite.
Interestingly,
wines.
Some people describe this as cab-like.
Yeah.
Given its age, given its vintage, and given where it's coming from Vajotzor, which is a sub-appellation within Armenia.
Yeah, yeah. It is much earthier and fuller in the body than Zulal. They are two same wines, I mean, same varietals, but made in a different styles. Like I said, I like all those wines. I've met all the winemakers, owners for those wineries. It's a great story. Stepan, I wanted, before you go, I wanted to ask you a question that people ask me, and I don't know how to answer it. What is your favorite wine?
You know, that's like saying, which one of your kids you like better, you love better? Okay. You know, it depends what kind of mood I'm in. If I'm sitting by the pool on a Sunday afternoon, I'll go with white wine. I love white wine. It depends on what I'm eating, who I'm with, and why am I drinking it?
I see.
If I want something big and, we can start the dinner with some salad with the white wine and finish it off with the red wine.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're not limited to one bottle here. Let's face it. We're among friends. We all love wine. We all want to enjoy ourselves and we all have a good time. So one bottle is never enough. So I never have that. I don't have to make those choices.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your answer.
You know, it's good to have choices in life.
Yeah.
And wine provides you with those opportunities to try. You know, when people ask me whether I should try this wine or that wine, I tell them, you know, try them both.
Try them both.
What do you got to lose? It means the $15, $20 is the cost of the bottle of wine. So what's the big deal? The downside is you may have spent $20 on a bottle of wine that you really enjoy. But the upside is that you make an amazing discovery of an amazing new wine from an amazing new area and vintage and varietal which you didn't know about.
Stepan, have you traveled to any of the regions of where your wines are from? The wines that you have on your portfolio, have you traveled to those regions? Have you
Absolutely. I've been to Armenia, to the wine region in Vaiotsor, and Armenia. I've been to France, Bordeaux region, and I've been to Spain wine region. I've been to Tuscany. I've been to South America, to Mendoza in Argentina, to Chilean Maipo Valley in Chile.
What is the most memorable trip that you had from all of those wine countries?
Bordeaux is magical and amazing.
Tell us a little bit about it.
It was a few years back, and it was a cloud. It was in November. It was a cloudy morning. And as we were driving on the highway, we realized it was close. On the left, there was Chateau Margaux. And then one of my most favorite chateaus is Chateau Pichon Longueville Baron.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing, most beautiful building you can imagine. And of course, we had an opportunity to go in, go down to the cave, taste a couple of vintages of their amazing Bordeaux, and had a phenomenal time. And you cannot go wrong with going to Chateau Latour, which I did as well. And that was a great opportunity as well to taste some historic wines and a beautiful location. And then had lunch afterwards in Pauillac, which was really, really amazing.
Sounds like a dream.
Oh, it was a dream. I mean, same thing when you go to Mendoza in Argentina in the mountains. It's a phenomenal, magical place that this berry, this grape grows and takes on the characteristics of the terroir, the land, the air, the sun, the wind, everything, and gives us so much pleasure.
Absolutely.
It's just magical. So that's what each bottle of wine will transform you, will take you someplace new, someplace different, someplace magical.
And that's why I love wine, because I always say this, the wine is not just an alcoholic beverage. It has so much behind it. It has history. It has all the people who spend their time to, you know, cultivate the earth, to grow the vines, to make the wine, and then we're here enjoying it.
Absolutely. It's a magical transformation. It takes you places. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for visiting. Thank you for being on the first show. This is so exciting. I hope you come back and we talk more. Maybe we can talk about food next time, because I know that you have your food page as well on Facebook. So
thanks for having me here. It's my privilege. I enjoyed it and glad to do it again.
Thank you.